Purim, Rabbi Yehoshua Hartzman, Purim Overcoming Amalek.
A Freilich Purim to all of us. We're still sober, Baruch Hashem. First of all, I must say it's very impressive to see an Olam coming to study Torah in the midst of the day of Purim. It's mamash kol hakavod. Rabbi, so what I would like to speak today in the 2.5 hours that we have in Baruch Hashem, I thought I could go on and on. So Baruch Hashem,
they call it take 17 hours.
That's right. Okay, right. Because the minhag in London is that we start the Suda like 2 minutes before Shkia. So I'm saying, that's not the minhag, right? That's how they do it here. So we got a long time. I would like to come up with three different explanations. What happened on Purim, that with the Kofar Har Kigiyas, that Kodesh Baruch Hu held the mountain over us like a barrel, which was the reason that we had an excuse of not keeping the mitzvahs, somehow on Purim, we took it back. Let's just repeat the Gemara. The Gemara says that they setzu tachti sahar, that we were standing under the mountain. As a result of that, that means that Kodesh Baruch Hu held the mountain over us like a barrel. And then, so says the Gemara, we were forced into it, because Kodesh Baruch Hu said, if you accept the Torah, good. If not, you're finished. So we accepted the Torah. So says the Gemara, Rabbah, we have a Moidah Rabbah, meaning an excuse, a legal excuse, that we don't have to keep the Torah, because we were forced into it. That was valid till Purim. On Purim, Kimu v'kiblu, Kimu v'shekiblu kvar, Hadol kiblu abimei HaChashverosh, and we accepted the Torah again willingly. What does Purim have to do with Kofar HaKigiyas? If we felt that we're forced into it up to Purim, so why should Purim say you're not forced into it anymore? And obviously, Rabbi said the Pashup Shot, meaning the Pashup Shot, the Gemara means, Lechura, that Maimon of Sinai did not obligate us because that was done through coercion and we have an excuse out of it. Purim, we decided we want to do it again willingly. So that means that, so we're not Mechir because of Maimon of Sinai? We're Mechir only because of Purim? That's impossible. Every Jew is called Mushba V'Oimed Mihar Sinai. We're all obligated from our Sinai. According to the Pashup Shah of the Gemara, no! On Maimon of Sinai, we have a Moidah. A Moidah is a legal, whatever the word is in English, a legal, what? Loophole. We don't have to keep it. What decided that we're obligated? Purim. That's impossible. That's impossible to say that. It all has to go back to Maimon of Sinai. So what happened on Purim that things changed? Vis-a-vis the Kofar HaKigiyas. So Rabbi, what I would like to do in the 25 minutes that we have, I want to three different explanations. One is Meferish in the Maral. The other two are insinuated, and to show that they're all maybe one. Let's see. The Maral explains in Tiferes Yisrael, Perek Nun Gimel, and in the Sefer Or Chadash, in a few places, that really what happened on Purim was, Haman really got us. It was no joke. He really pressed all the right buttons from his point of view, and we're finished. But Emes we are. Why, nevertheless, did we survive Haman? Because there's something in us which is not us. What do you mean, something in us which is not us? That there's something about the Jewish people that part of their identity is that they are the people of Hashem. But it's not only that we believe in Hashem, we have a close relationship with Hashem, we made a covenant with Hashem. It's a lot more than that. There's something of Hashem that He transplanted in our essence, which is not us, but Him. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, these people are going to be the ones who are going to be my representatives, whether they like it or not. And from now on, part of our DNA is that we are Jews, we try to do Ratzon Hashem, but excluding the fact that we try to do Ratzon Hashem, Hashem anyway chose us, whether you like it or not. What halacha am I saying? It's halacha. Yisrael afa pishachata, Yisraelu. A Jew, no matter how many sins he'll do, he's still Jewish. He can convert to 25,000 religions, he's still a Jew. On that, we don't have free will. Meaning, we have free will to keep Shabbos, not to keep Shabbos, to speak Lashon Hara, not to speak Lashon Hara. Being Jewish, once you're born to a Jewish mother, on that you have absolutely no free will. Opi Halacha. Why not? How come I can't decide I don't want to be Jewish? Why not? The most important question, that I cannot decide? Why not? Because there's something about me which is not me. Meaning, I don't have a free will on what my friend decides. I don't have free will on another party. I don't have free will on another party if he's called the Kodesh Baruch Hu as well. And since the Kodesh Baruch Hu chose each and every one of us, so, there's nothing to talk about. Do you have a free will to decide when you're going to be born and where you're going to be born and what your family you're going to be born into? Do you have a free will on that? Who are you going to be, your parents? Where are you going to be, your siblings? You don't have a free will on that. You don't have a free will on this point either. Namely, that you're Jewish. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was boicher in Am Yisrael, but also in every individual, and said, I made you Jewish. And that's my decision. Whether you like it or not. Says the Maharal, that's what Kofar HaKigigis was done for, to start with initially. Why did Kodesh Baruch have to do Kofar HaKigigis if anyway we said Na'aseh V'Nishma? Says the Maharal, Na'aseh V'Nishma, that's our doing. That's what we decided. Right? Kofar HaKigigis is that Kodesh Baruch says, I'm very happy that you guys decided, but it's my decision anyway, whether you like it or not. Right? That's called Kofar HaKigigis. So what was happening up to Purim? Maybe it's going to have to close the window. If you close the window, so then... Okay. Beside it. Meaning, so what happened in Purim, up to Purim, and what happened in Purim? Up to Purim, there was a terrible misunderstanding going on. We thought, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu call for HaKigigis? Like, why does a mother have to force her child to eat chicken? Because he's not interested in the chicken. He wants the ice cream. So what's the... Why are we being forced? It's probably against our grain. And we have to be forced. It has to be shoved down our throat, so to speak, to accept the Torah. Meaning the Torah is not really our cup of tea. It's just rammed down us. Ah, that's the reason. So I'm not interested in it. So for over a period almost of 2,000 years, or whatever the period was... Well, it's more than 1,000 years. We can say we're not interested. You forced me into it. That means it's not really for me, because you don't have to force a child to eat chocolate. So why did you force us to take the Torah? That means it's not chocolate. That means it's what? It's something that we really don't like so much. So I'm not interested. Purim let us understand. No, that's not why HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced the Torah upon you. The Torah is chocolate. Hi, so why do you force someone to take chocolate? For a different reason totally. Now, Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to put into our essence something which is Him, and it's not us. Once we agree, again it's us. Ah, that's why He did Kofar Gagiz? Yeah. That there should be part of your identity is something which is not you, and this will guarantee your eternity. You're going to live forever. Because everything at the end dies, but a Kodesh Baruch Hu. But if the Jewish people have something about them which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're going to live forever. The immortality of the Jewish people, what Mark Twain has. Ah, so the Kofar HaKigigis was to enable that we're going to live forever? Absolutely. It wasn't done because to shove it down our throats? No, not at all. Where was it revealed to us that it's our insurance policy that we're going to live forever? On Purim. On Purim, where Haman really got us. So from our angle, it's all over. Yetzias Mitzrayim is the beginning of our story. That's again, it's the first month of the year. Purim is the last month of the year. It's over. Our cycle is over. Shalom. It's finished. The only reason that we made it is because there's something about us which is beyond us. Namely, something HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. When did that start? In Kofar HaKigigis. Ah, Stagit Kacha, like Israelis say. That's the pshat of Kofar HaKigigis. To put into us something which will guarantee our future? I have nothing against it. On the contrary, it guarantees my eternity for years to come. Ah. lemafrea, retroactively, I have no problem with the Kofar Gigigis, and now we accept the Torah from Har Sinai days. Purim, we got a new insight, a new color to what Kofar Gigigis is about. Not, boom, you got to do it. Rather, this is your insurance that you're going to live forever. But today, if someone falls asleep in the shir, I have no tainas, because the Ramos says you can become at the loyodam by falling asleep. That's what he says. Fine. So today, someone who falls asleep, b'vakasha, he's mekayem a mitzvah. I never speak in shul on Sukkot, Rabbi. I never. I always, for the last 30 years, run away from it. Because the minute is, whenever I start speaking, I say, good, yom tov, and it's sheina michutz asukkah. I don't want the problem. Sleeping outside of sukkah. During the year, no problem. But today, it's even a mitzvah. So Rabbi, whoever wants to fall asleep, b'vakasha. It's a big mitzvah today. Okay, so Rabbi said that's explanation number one. That the why on Purim we have no objections anymore to the Kofar Kigigis, we understand that it was done for our benefit. What? Guaranteeing our eternity. We're not just us, because if it would be just us, we would die. Like everything dies. There's something about us which is not us, and therefore we're going to live forever. That was revealed in Purim. The Lashon of Chazal is, Im atem mekabelim et haTorah, if you receive the Torah, mutav, good. The imlav, and if not, sham tiyek pulasem. What does sham mean? There? Where? Where's there? Why not the kan? Say this word, it means shushan. Sham and shushan. Shbetel. Mishtiyaz. Asach shbetel. Then will be, if you're not going to now take the Kofar Kigigis, you're going to end up there in shushan. The only way that we surpassed Haman and we went beyond Haman is because there's something about us which is not us. That's what the Rambam says in the Gur'ari and in a few other places. So that's the come. We don't have any objection with Kofar HaGigis. Because we understood initially that it's to force us and to force, like in Hasbam Wise being asked, Rabbi Hartman, is this compulsory? Every question in the morning. Hi, good morning. Is it compulsory? That's what that starts in the past. Is it compulsory? We understood that Kofar Gigigis is compulsory. Then we understood it's an injection that we're going to live forever. Oy bazay. I'm very happy with it. That's explanation number one. Rabbi, so I want to go another explanation. What was the Kofar Gigigis that we removed our objection on Purim? This is more to do with the Ramchal, Moshe Chaim Lutzato, in the Sefer Das Tvunas. Says a more difficult point. He doesn't speak Lehedi about Purim, but you see that that's what he's saying. He says there's two Hanhogas of a Kodesh Baruch Hu in the world. One is called Hanhogas HaMishpat, the other is called Hanhogas HaYichud. What does this mean? Hanhogas HaMishpat is that there's good and there's bad. And for the good we get rewarded, and for the bad we get punished. Mishpat, you gotta judge it. Is it good or bad? That's Hanhogas HaMishpat. But there's a deeper Hanhoga, which today we cannot understand, but one day it will be revealed to us, and that's called Hanhogas HaYichud. HaYichud means everything is going to become one. Mishpat by definition means there's two tzadim. Mishpat means judgment. Let's see who's right. Let's see who's wrong. There's two options. That's what Mishpat by definition means. And Hanhogas HaYichud, there's nothing but one. Yichud, from the word Yachid. One. In the world to come, we're going to see that everything, even the bad that looks today, is part of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's plan in the Bria. That's what we're going to see then as well. For example, the Gemara says in Masechet Pesachim, the Gemara says in Daf Nun, "Bayom Hu Yeh Hashem Echad Ushma Echad." Asks the Gemara, "Ato Aidna Lab Echado?" But today, Kadosh Baruch Hu is that one. But today, Kadosh Baruch Hu is two. Chas v'shalom. What does it mean? "Bayom Hu Yeh Hashem Echad Ushma Echad." Right? Answers the Gemara. The brachas will change. Today, you make two brachas. Al psuris toivis, you say, atov amiti. On not such good ones, you say, dynamis. Lasid lavoi, everything will be Hatov Vametiv. The two brachas are going to merge. Asks the Tzlach. Tzlach is initial Siyam Menefesh Chaya, the Sefer of the Noga Yehuda, on Tzlachim. He asks, it's not that the two brachas are going to merge. That's not what it means. Just in the world to come, everything will be good. So you're going to say only one of the brachas. Also today, if everything's going to be good, you're going to say Hatov Vametiv. Just it so happens to me that today, unfortunately, they're still bad. So we say, well, another bracha. Everything is going to be good. So it's not that the brachas change. The reality will change. There'll be two brachas, and there'll be two realities today. Today there's two realities, then there'll be only one reality. Why is the Gemara introducing it that the two brachas are going to become one? It's not that two brachas are going to become one. The two brachas remain two. Just there won't be a chetimsa to say the bracha of dynamis. Why is it called that the two brachas became one? You know what we say? That's what the Tzach asks. Gevaldik Akash of the Noi Debi Yudah. Answers the Noi Debi Yudah. You know what the Gemara means? The Tzach? On what we say today, Diana Emes, when we're going to go then to Olam Haba, we're going to look back and say on those very same things, Antoma Metiv. Ooh. Psh, what a chiddush of the Tzach. We have here Ben Achalben to the Noi Debi Yudah. Almost. Okay. You're a lady also, right? Oh, okay. But otherwise, you would have been a Ben Achalben. Okay, good. I'm a Ben Achalben to the Golem. I don't have anything for Maharal himself. The Golem, I think, I have Shtigl Shachas. The Lady Buddha is saying, I'm the Kinakura. It's Taka, the brachas are going to change. On what you say today, dynamis, you're going to go there, look backwards, and you're going to say, on that, Toma Metiv. Today we cannot understand that. What, we're going to look one day in the Shoah and say, on Toma Metiv? Today we cannot comprehend that. That's totally beyond our understanding. We're Makabal. We understand. To stand on Toma Metiv? We cannot. It's not Shaykh. In the world to come, we're going to see how everything was part of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's plan. Everything will become Hatov Ametiv. So says the Ramchal, these are the two Hanagas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in the world. In the world that we're today, it's called Hanagas HaMishpat. There's two options. In the world to come, there's Hanagas HaYichud. Everything will become one. And everything will be part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan. Purim, like Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba, Purim is Me'ein Hanagas HaYichud. Why? There's no way to overcome Amalek in the system of this world. There's no way. Amalek has total control of what's happening in this world. You cannot beat Amalek in Olam Hazeh currency. He's much stronger than us, Olam Hazeh. He got it all right down to science, how to manage an Olam Hazeh. There's no way you could overcome him with an Olam Hazadik of things. Tools. The only way to overcome him is from a Shpetadikavelt. A Shpetadikavelt means a later world. When everything will become good, so then Amalek will be forced into that, and then he'll lose his Metzias as something which is bad on its own. That's become Reishis Goyim Amalek, Ma'achrisoi, and the Oyvim. But the only way to eliminate Amalek is if you look at the world from the Shar Hanagas HaYichud aspect. Somehow, then everything, that's the only way to overcome it. But we say, this explains a Nekuda, which, how come Purim, the Geula came through a Mahalach called Ben Africhu? It flipped back. Sorry, Pesach's not Ben Africhu. Chanukah is not Manafichu. Pesach is, Paro wanted to do something, and Kishmo did something else. Chanukah, the Yabani wanted to do something, and Kishmo did another thing. By Purim, it's not like that. By Purim, it's Manafichu. Whatever he planned, that backfired against him. And the Maharal says in one place in Rosh Chodesh, V'dobo zehu yisod ha-Megillah. The yisod of the Megillah. That whatever he planned, backfired. Why is this story different than all the other stories? Why do they have to be Dafka in the Mahalach of an Africhu? It backfires. Because the only way Amalek, you could overcome Amalek, is through the lenses of Hanogas and Yichud. Hanogas and Yichud means that somehow everything will fit into Hashem's program. Everything. Whatever he did will turn out to be good. If you're going to have Amalek doing one thing, and something else came from a different angle, so Amalek's Ra would remain. Because his Metzius is Ra Adasov. The only way that it is part of what this world is, that the Ra itself becomes Tov. This is something unique to fighting Amalek. That's to come here, it had to be a Mahalach of Venahafichu. All other Goyim have something positive about them as well. You don't have to rectify by backfiring. Mashiach, when you come to find Amalek, his essence is so Ra. The only way that it could have some kind of existence in this world is that in itself was something Tov. Because there's nothing, otherwise there's nothing Tov in it. So therefore with Amalek, it had to be a Mahalach of an Africhu. That's a Kampurim, as the Yom Tov that will not be cancelled, Lassid Lover. The Medrash says all other Yom Tovs are going to be cancelled when we reach Lassid Lover, not Purim. Why? Because Purim comes from there. How could it be cancelled when you arrive there? On the contrary, you're coming home. The only way to overcome Purim is through the Hanhaga of Yichud, that everything turned out to be also part of Ratzon Hashem. And that's the only way it could be done. Now, I'll prove it to you from a different angle. This Nekuda. We have four guys still awake? Let's see. Oh! Good way, sir. Okay. I guess when we sleep together, it's Barov Am. I'm going to ask you a question. Achashverosh, let's go with Haman. Haman did this Gzera on Chodesh Nisan, right? As we read the Megillah this morning and last night. And the Gzera will kick in 11 months later. 11 months later. Mordechai finds out about it in Chodesh Nisan. And on that day, he tells Esther, you got to go into Achashverosh. You're there. You got the connections. Go into Achashverosh. She says, I haven't been called in already for 30 days. If you come in without Rishus, you get killed. So, Mordechai tells her, you think you're going to run away from the fate of the Jewish people? You got to go in now. What's Mordechai's logic? Why is he forcing her to go in now? There's another 11 months anyway. And Esther is saying, I haven't been called already for 30 days. Which means, I'll be called in. So fine, let's wait till he'll be called in. Till she'll be called in. No, you gotta go in now. But that was a sakana. I don't care, go in now. Well, how do you understand that? Does the logic dictate, let's wait? You know what, if she won't be called in for another 3, 4, 5 months, then go in. I understand you can't wait for the last moment. But you gotta do everything on the spot 11 months in advance. So if you could take care of it peacefully, the bakasha. But if it's sakonis nefashis, why are you doing it? What would have been if Achashverosh would have killed Esther? What would everybody then tell Mordechai?
Wait.
What?
Wait.
You could have waited. Why did you force it to go in now? Why did you force it to go in now? Don't you know it's a tremendous sakona? To come to the king without any permission? And she says, I haven't been called in already for 30 days. Which means, I'm going to be called in shortly. I'm going to be called in a week, 2 weeks, a month. Yeah, it's going to happen. Go in now. And giving a hint that you're taking advantage of your status to try to evade the fate of the Jewish people. Just stop and need to be here. What would the oil say on such a kind of question? What's Mordechai's logic? Go in now. But now it's a second, I'm going without permission. Take the risk. Why?
So that it shows that by taking the risk, he's going to pay attention. My goodness, you're risking your life.
Maybe not. But why do it? Why not wait till it comes at the right time? Why do it? What's Mordechai's logic? You should go in now. But now it's a sakana. I don't care. Now, if the gzera would be tomorrow morning or the next week, I understand. There's no time to waste. It's another 11 months. So she has to go in the next morning?
Hashem made him find out 11 months in advance.
That's the reason, because someone's like, because Hashem said, man, he heard about it. Is that a logic to put yourself in sakana? Because Hashem said, well, did you find out about it now? Mapito. What's the chat? This question the moral asks, Tanur Chodesh. You understand? Right? What's the kind of, why did he say going now? Says the moral, this point. When you're fighting a Moloch, you can only win if it backfires. Menapach means it backfires. You throw a ball on a wall, it comes back immediately, not after 11 months. If it comes back after 11 months, it's a different energy. It's a different source of energy. You throw it, and it comes back. With a Moloch, it has to be...
switch.
What would be the word?
Instant.
Flip. What? Switch over. Backfire. That's the only way to fight a Moloch. Now that we're still on the same day, 2-3 days, okay, that's still called the same parsha. But to come and to let have a Moloch let his hachlata, his decision sink in, and then a few months later you're going to try to uproot it, it won't go. Because then a Moloch's going to win. The only way to overcome a Moloch is that it should backfire on him. Yoshuv machshavas haman harasha al roshay. Yoshuv machshavas haman harasha al roshay. Whatever he did, pul haman nefach lepulenu. Right? That's what it says also. And it has to backfire. And you got to go in right now. If you're not going to go in right now, you're speaking logic. But that's not how you deal with a Moloch. A Moloch, it has to backfire. Okay? Haficha. It has to backfire. The flip side, like they say. That's how it has to go. Well, there's no other way to do it with a Moloch. And that's what Mordechai understood. And therefore, going now. So, Rabbi said, that's the second explanation. So, what happened in Kofa HaKigigis? What does that mean? In Kofa HaKigigis, which means, was Mizgale Hanogas HaYichud. What does that mean? We discovered, how does that help on the Kofa HaKigigis? The Kofa HaKigigis, meaning, what was revealed in Purim? What was revealed on Purim is that there are things in the world which is everything at the end will turn out to be Ratzon Hashem. Everything is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything is HaKadosh Baruch Hu was revealed in Purim. As a result, we're also part, this is pretty similar to what we said before, in a different connection. We're also part of this plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not, what is kfiya called a kfiya? Something outside of you is forcing you. But if your right hand forces your left hand, that's not called kfiya. On Purim was mezgala, that everything is part of the plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not something outside of us, rather it's a part of us. And this was understood on Purim. But listen, let me just conclude with the third option, and with this we're going to finish. I'll try to do it as quickly as possible. And they're all very, very similar. My son Yecheskel, my oldest son, spoke to me before Purim, and he said another mahalach. He says, what's the pshat? You got to be so drunk that you don't know who's Oru Hamon and Mordechai. I mean, come on. You want to say, he's so drunk, he'll jump on the table. He'll so drunk, he'll cross the streets without looking. You know, there's a few ways how to measure the level of tax. Taxation, what is the word?
Intoxicate.
Right? There's a few ways how to do it. This is the one, this is the only yardstick. Oru Hamon, Baruch Mordechai. Is that the normal way how to do it? When the police stops the driver on the street, so they ask him, do you know the difference between Mordechai and Haman? They don't do that, right? But here is a new way how to check out who's a drunkie or not. Do you know the difference between Haman and Mordechai? What's up, Sean? I had a phone call on Friday from a parent in the school. We had a mesiba last night. So the parent, a very English-type parent, very, very English. Square-like. Okay. And I could tell already on the way the phone call starts, if Alano Ata Imnitzareno, are they coming, right? So when they say, hi, Rabbi Hartman, how are you? That's a regular conversation. When they say, Rabbi Hartman, up and down, huh? This is Saras. This is Saras. I know, I could tell already by the music. I could tell.
You've been here too long.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, so the truth is, I was learning the Chavrusa, so he told my wife, can I please speak to him? So now it's very, very urgent. Very, very urgent. Okay. So I think the one. Okay. Yes. Are you having any event in the school on Saturday night? Not with the Shabbos, Saturday night. Yes, we are. What's the nature of the event? We're going to have a Purim party. Are there going to be any intoxicated beverages? I was never asked this question in my life. I mean, intoxicated beverages. Like, I want to say, what does that mean? So, I mean, do you mean alcohol? I asked them straight. Yes. No, we're going to have just wine. And because, you know, it's illegal, and you don't have to do it, and you're going to sit in jail. So I said, no, we're giving only wine and a half a cup. And then we didn't do that either. Right?
Yeah, no, we didn't do it.
We didn't have anything. And, are you sure? Yes. Well, I'm going to double check after you. You make sure that you stick to... I said, okay, thank you very much. Right? And that's how this lovely conversation concluded. Okay. Why is measuring if it's a intoxicated beverage is Aruch Haman and Baruch Mochai? What's the job? So he said, I'm going to take a Nakuda. And with this, I want to conclude. What we said before about Hanogas HaYichud and Hanogas HaMishpat, he called it a little bit differently. The Rambam's famous question of Yediya and Bechira. How does it work? We have free will? Yes, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything in advance. So what did the Rambam say about this question in Hilchos Teshuva? We don't understand how these systems work, and just, that's it. That's what the Rambam says. The Rambam says, so why did you raise the question? If you don't have an answer, you can raise the question. That's what the Rambam says. On this Nekuda of Yediya and Bechira, this is where Amalek decided it doesn't make sense. So there is no real Yediya. Namely, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed people to exercise their free will as they wish. That's what Amalek said. We could do whatever we want. It's part of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. V'lo yare Elokim is not afraid of God because God said he could do whatever he wants. That's the only way he could solve the question of Yediya and Bechira. Am Yisrael says, one day we'll understand how everything is Yediya. Meanwhile, you have the Bechira. It's a good kasha, but you're still accountable for your deeds and you're still responsible because there is free will. How does that work with Yediya? We don't know exactly, but it works. On this point, that's the struggle always with Amalek. That's why the Pasuk says, Baderech, it says in the Mishnah. Why is it so important to say Baderech twice? We're about to receive the Torah, and we're about to make this connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that He knows everything, and we still have free will. Amalek says it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Or free will, or He knows everything. Let's conclude, we have free will, and we can do whatever we want. That's what Amalek says. Purim is the one time that we say, we had a glimpse into it, that everything is part of Yediyas Hashem. Everything is part of it. Namely, of course you're accountable for what you do, but it's all part of Kodesh Baruch's plan. It all works together. Therefore, the chiluk between Aruch Haman and Baruch Mochai means, he's the bad guy, he's the good guy. At the end of the day, they're both going to be part of the plan. They're both part of the plan. So Mimela, that's why you don't know the difference anymore between Aruch Haman and Baruch Mochai. Meaning, it's not stop to be cute. You're so drunk, you don't know the difference between this and that. That is the essence of Purim. The essence of Purim is that we figure out that even something which appears against us is also for us. And therefore, truly, they both contribute equally to the Nes of Purim. Haman and Mordechai. Who more, who less? Doesn't make a chilek. That's the outlook of the idea. Therefore, lo yoda ben there's a mitzvah to get drunk. Okay, I know it's not such a popular mitzvah, but it's a mitzvah. What's the pshat to get drunk? What does it mean to get drunk? Well, how could it be that it's part of the mitzvah sayom to get drunk? The mitzvah sayom means I have zero control. I have no das. Everything's in the hands of Hashem. The antidote of Amalek is to acknowledge that even though it appears Eretz Nitna Biyat Rosha and they have control, it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one controlling everything. Therefore, we have no objections acknowledging that we don't have that much bechira. A person who has free will, a person who's drunk doesn't have that much free will. A person who's drunk doesn't know what's happening with him. That's exactly the message of Boy. Therefore, we have no more problem with Kofa HaKigigis. He forced us into it. To a certain degree, we're always forced into it. Purim takes a little bit off the Bechira Chavshis and looking in from the Yediyah point of view, which is the same words of Anagas Mishpat and Anagas Yichud. When we look at it from the Anagas Yichud point of view, when we look at it from the Yediyah point of view, then we acknowledge that everything is what's in Hashem anyway. And Mimena, we have no problem with Kofar HaKigigis. So Rabbi, we said three explanations here today. What happened with the Kofar HaKigigis? Or we understood that the Kofar HaKigigis is really helping us. That's the first explanation. Or the Kofar HaKigigis is Shema also showing at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that everything will fit into his plan, and therefore we don't have a problem with Kofar HaKigigis. Or the third of this, that everything is anyway controlled by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have what to say vis-a-vis ourselves, but not on the plan of the Bria. And therefore, we have no more problem of Kofa HaKigigis. I think if you have a chance to think about it, you'll see that all three explanations are one. That's the Kamer Medrash says, that all the Yom Tovs are going to be cancelled, except Purim. Why? Because Purim comes from there. Purim comes from a place, and just today we already could have a glimpse of it. Rabbi said, you know, the mitzvah, if there is a mitzvah, if a person could get drunk in a nice way, it's a mitzvah to get drunk. He couldn't account the mitzvah through sleeping, amas, but there is a mitzvah. But the mitzvah is part of the seudah. Just remember, it's part of the seudah. Getting drunk before now, there's no mitzvah at all. That's another reason why last night there was no intoxicated beverages. Why? There's no mitzvah to get drunk at night. At night, there's no mitzvah whatsoever. The mitzvah is now, at the seudah. Rabbi said, just to remember that Am Yisrael is on a journey, the opposite of what Amalek's trying to stop us. We're in a derech. We're in a journey. We come from the Avos HaKadoshim. We're going to end in a makom and in a place that everything there is going to look different. The bechira will look different. The idea will look different. The hanogas ayichud is going to look different. And Purim is already a little bit of a synopsis, a little of what's going to happen. We already have it today. That's Purim today. We shall all be zeichem yetz Hashem to be oimed and be bimhela b'yameinu, to see how everything will turn ayin ba'ayin yiru b'shuv Hashem es tzion.